Welcome to The Medley. I'm Blake Crash Priddle, and this week's guest is an award-winning author, playwright, and actor based in Northern Ontario. Ron Carley takes the time to tell us all about his career, and he has some really good pointers for those of you that want to follow in his footsteps. If you're an aspiring author and you're looking for ways to get published, this is an awesome person to take advice from. How did your career as an author and actor begin?
I'll start with the actor part first, because I initially trained as an actor. I went to York University for their theater program. And while at York, I did a minor in creative writing. And I was very fortunate to study under B.P. Nicol, who was a very famous Canadian experimental poet. And we lost him he died in 1989, far too young. So a great loss to Canadian literature. I graduated York, and while I was at York, I developed a very keen interest in working from the original folio of Shakespeare. And so I began adapting and directing a lot of Shakespearean productions. Over the years, I did a couple of years at the Stratford Festival as a resident assistant director there. And that led me into teaching acting Shakespeare at the University of Windsor and George Brown Theatre School and doing workshops across the province. So I was doing a lot of outreach work. And eventually that led me to North Bay, Ontario, where I started a summer repertory company called the Nipissing Stage Company, which I ran for 6 years. And then I created the Acting for Stage and Screen program at Canada College because there was no actor training north of Toronto. And I did that for 19 years. And during that time, I was writing plays and getting funding for plays that I was doing with the Nipissing Stage Company and then independently while I was running the college program. But in terms of becoming an author, my first novel, A Matter of Will, was published in September of 2017. But I began working on that in 2012 was when I began writing it. I had an idea for a book in my head for a while and finally, you know, set the time to do it. And when I finished the manuscript, I submitted it to the Humber School for Writers and because they have a wonderful, wonderful correspondence program there. And I was assigned a mentor who then worked with me on a full draft of the novel. And that's what you do with that course. And then when I finished that, I engaged him privately to do another draft with me, edit another draft. And we had a finished manuscript. And then I began shopping it around to publishers and agents. And I got some very nice rejection letters and then a lot of silence. And a year and a half into that, I was getting pretty frustrated, pretty discouraged, because there were no nights, no bites, no nibbles, really. And just at that moment, a publishing house in Sudbury called Latitude 46 Publishing, who I'd sent, I think, the first five chapters to, got back to me and wanted to read the manuscript. So I sent it to them, and they got back to me a month later saying they wanted to publish it. So that's how it started for me. Blake, and then we published A Matter of Will in the fall of 2017, and then my second novel, Kinmount, was published in the fall of 2020, right in the middle of the pandemic. So that was the online virtual with that book, everything, you know, book clubs and literary festivals, everything went online. And then my third major work, my collection of short stories, Grin Reaping, came out a year ago, June. So that's sort of the journey in a nutshell.
A lot of authors have their own unique style of writing and their own unique work. Like, for instance, Stephen King is known for his horror genre and Louis L'Amour is known for Westerns. What makes your book stand out?
Well, I think one thing is I write humor. And humor is very subjective. I think it's different than horror or romance. Because I think if you like horror and you read horror, there's a sort of consistency in that particular medium. But with humor, what's funny for one person may not be funny for somebody else. And I write humor because I think humor allows us to deal with a lot of the heavy lifting of life, the seriousness of life. And I know for me personally, things that tend to happen to me, I tend to process through a comic filter. And it's my way of not avoiding life, but it's my way of coping with life. And we inject humor into every aspect of our daily lives because it makes our lives that much more bearable, I think. And it's the kind of exchange between human beings that keeps us all from jumping off bridges. So that's why I write humor. I also write satire because I think there are many individuals, many institutions that are ripe for being kicked off their pedestals. So I poke fun at things. And I think I developed that side of my nature very, very young. I was like that when I was an adolescent. I always had sort of an observational look on the world that was fairly humorous, and it was my way of processing things. One critic sort of described my writing as sort of a blend between David Sedaris and Stuart McLean. I thought, well, that's a pretty high compliment. But I think there's similarities in terms of the self-deprecating wit of Sedaris, the gentleness of Stuart McLean, and in his writing there always was a sense of hope. And those two writers' gifts and strengths, I think, are true in my writing. My work always ends at a level of hope because I subscribe to it. But I use humor as my way to guide the reader along and deal with serious topics. And I create characters that can say things that I necessarily can't say. So in defining how my work separates from others, I think that would be one aspect. And within my writing, too, like I like to explore sort of a mystic realism. And I that's sort of in all my writing. So that idea of the fantastical just may pop out of the everyday reality, but creating it in such a way that it seems plausible. And I think that also reflects my kind of worldview in that I kind of subscribe to all things are possible. There's so many things out there we just don't know, and so I don't close my mind to any of it.
Well, certainly humor is a great way of making uncomfortable things more comfortable and scary things less scary. So would you recommend that authors use humor or comic relief in their work to make certain aspects of their stories, you know, less frightening or less uncomfortable?
I think, you know, interesting you raise that question. In Shakespeare's plays, you know, divide into history plays and then the comedies and the tragedies. And the only real difference between Shakespeare's comedy and tragedies is that the characters at the end of the comedies get married, interesting enough, because a lot of darkness happens through the course of the comedies, mistaken identities and such, and it can drive, and the characters can go quite mad with it. So I think a good story in general, if we remove a label of a comedy or a tragedy or a romance or a history play, and I apply to writing fiction as well, any good story needs elements of humor, needs elements of drama. It just makes for good storytelling. So yeah, I would encourage all writers to use humor. Certainly, the darker you get, the more you need a little bit of lightness to undercut that, right? You think of the Scottish play, and after Duncan's been killed, and all the mayhem that's happening, and I think it's the character's name is Lennox, and he's racing in, and he's terrified because of the storm that's happening and the portents that are happening, and there's blood and there's all this wildness, and then Macris just very dryly says to him, yes, it's been a rough night, you know, and it's this great understated dry wit at that moment, because we as the audience of course know what he and the missus have just done. Definitely comic relief is a reader needs it the way an audience needs it. And the darker you go, the more you need to find bits of humor to give the reader a bit of a chance to breathe a bit.
I saw in your IMDb profile that you wrote a script for a movie called Red Pine City. What's the premise of that film?
The initial premise of that film, and this is going back 11 years ago, was based on an actual manhunt that happened in Northern Ontario in 1974. Based on a man named Donald Kelly, who escaped from the North Bay Jail. He was being held there on two accounts of murder, and he escaped, and there was a manhunt that lasted for 6 to 7 weeks all summer as they tried to catch him. And he was really smart, and he kept outwitting the police. And they brought in this very famous tracking dog, Cloud, who became so famous, he was on Front Page Challenge as a celebrity guest. And there's a memorial to him, I think, at the OPP large station in Orillia. So that manhunt was what the film was, this original screenplay was based on. And I worked on that with another writer. And then we met with a script advisor, and it evolved into something slightly different. And so I worked on the first sort of 5 years of the project. And then the script began moving in a different direction, in getting a love interest involved and other aspects and characters. And it was shifting away from what the original story was, because a new producer came on board who also began writing, which is their prerogative. And but so the final results of that journey, I left the project as a writer about 5-6 years ago. So I'm still credited, because I did write a lot of the original material and the original screenplay. In terms of what the final product is right now, I can honestly say I don't know, because I haven't seen it, and I haven't read the final draft of what ended up going to film. So I don't know, I can't speak to how much of what I contributed in those earlier versions is in the final film.
Can you tell us about some of your other screen roles, both on camera and behind the scenes?
Most recently, I guess a couple of weeks ago, there's a new series called SkyMed. Its first season was shot in Manitoba, northern Manitoba, and its second season is being shot in the North Bay area. And I did a day on that a couple of weeks ago. It's about a bunch of young paramedics and nurses and bush pilots that live way up in the north. The challenges they face in terms of having to rescue people, you know, using bush planes and whatnot. And also then, of course, everyone that goes north is running from something. So it's also how they fall in love with each other, you know, and all the usual. So like Grey's Anatomy goes into the back in Black Flag country, I suppose you could say. So I did that. There was a series called Hard Rock Medical. It was 4 seasons on TVO. And I had a recurring character named Dick. I think did 6-7 episodes with that character over a few seasons there. I had a principal role on the series Cardinal, based on the Giles Blunt novels. There was a TV series called Carter that shot up here for 2 years with Jerry O'Connor, who was when he was a boy, he was in the film Stand By Me, and it lasted 2 seasons. And it was shot out of North Bay, and I had a principal in that, just a 1 day principal where I was a serial killer in prison, who gets stabbed, and then I've done a few other smaller films and whatnot. But that's sort of what I've done recently on camera.
What was the hardest project to make?
Oftentimes, when you're shooting stuff up here, you're coming in for what they call a day player. So when you're doing a 1 day principal, and that can be challenging because you've got to make a lot of decisions and figure out who this character is with maybe 8 or 9 lines that you're all shooting in 1 day. You don't have the luxury of being a series regular where you've got this character arc that goes through all the episodes. So they can be a bit harrowing sometimes, pulling all that together on the day. But I would say the biggest challenge I had overall was a series I shot back in 2009 called The Savage Tales of Summer Vale, which is a very fun kind of cheeky B-movie science fiction series. And I played a character who had been sort of burnt in a radioactive explosion of some kind. So a brilliant doctor. And my entire body was sort of turned into what looked like raw hamburger. So I looked a bit like a mutant of sorts. So the makeup was fun, because the makeup and the prosthetics took about an hour and a half to get into every day. The character had I had 8 episodes. So the challenge there for me was that character's journey. And in filming TV, you're always shooting out of sequence, because it's always where's the location. If you get a location, you shoot everything that you need on that location while you have it, right? So that's one of the challenges of film acting, is you're always shooting out of sequence. So it was one of my first experiences where I was doing a substantial principal character, and it was a learning curve for me really working it, because I think like on my second day of filming, we were shooting the last episode. So there's that work you've got to do to try to make sure you're sitting in the right emotions for what's required on that day. So that was a learning curve for me there as I started figuring out how to try to do that.
Did you get to work with any famous or well-known actors? And if so, who is your favorite to work with?
Canadian actor named Patrick McKenna, who's also a comedian. He was in the Red Green Show. way back in the 90s in a show called Traitors. Anyhow, he's delightful to work with. He's funny. He's laid back. He's just he's so good at his craft because he's been doing it for so long. He was really nice to work with. So he sticks out for me as someone who I really really enjoyed working with.
Do you have any plans for new books?
I do. I've got two, actually. Over the pandemic, I have a cat named Hilton who discovered that The Great Gatsby by F. Scott Fitzgerald has come into the public domain. So he started catifying it, and then I would translate it from tabby into English. So now we got a finished parody on The Great Gatsby called The Great Gatsby by Hilton, and an illustrator has done a series of illustrations for it. It'll be a novella with illustrations, and the layout's just finished being done. So it's slated to come out the end of October, and then my next novel, which is now it's finished being edited. It's moving into the advanced review stages and getting individuals to read it and write short reviews to go in the book. So that's where it's at, and it's slated to come out in the fall of 24. So those are two that are coming out, and then I'm beginning the very, very early stages of researching my next book.
I look forward to reading those new books. Of all the books that you've written, which one was the most challenging to write? I can imagine that at least one of them had some challenges to it.
Well, you know what, Blake? It'd be my first one because it was new. And maybe this is true of a lot of writers. I think it might be. But when you write your first book, somehow you get it in your head that it's got to have everything in it because it's got to have everything. You know, it's going to be like it's your epic, it's your masterpiece. A good editor certainly knocks that out of your head pretty quick, and you realize, tell the story. And just tell the one story. And then my first book, initially, I was juggling a few too many balls. And once I got rid of a few, then everything began to flow and connect together and do what it had to do. So it was most difficult simply by the because it was my first.
A lot of times, first-time authors that struggle to get noticed by publishers or get accepted by publishers will turn to self-publishing. What are your views on self-publishing? Is it something that you would recommend?
Well, you know, that's a good question. And I did a workshop, actually, last October with another author, Terry Fallis, and we did a workshop on getting published. And we did address self-publishing. And like everything, there are some self-publishing entities that are legitimate, and there's some that are scams, and they can take the writer with their big dreams, and they can charge them a lot of money for what they say they're doing, and all the writer ends up with is a cardboard carton of books, and I despise those vanity presses, as we call them. I have a few author friends that have self-published. And they made sure that they hired, because where sometimes self-publishing can fall down is if the writers don't get their work edited because they just want to get it out there. So their work was edited really, really, really well. And the book cover is designed well, and they were able to sell it through Amazon.
How can people keep up to date with you and your projects?
Well, I have a website. It's simply rodcarley.ca. All the information is there in terms of how to reach me by email, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram. I'm regularly posting on Facebook and Instagram connected to my writing, and not just my writing, but I support other authors as well, and what's happening in the literary community and what's happening in terms of especially Canadian fiction, what's going on. So that's probably the easiest way to stay up with me. Yeah. Be well and well read.
We hope you've enjoyed this week's interview with Rod Carley, author, playwright, and actor. If you'd like to learn more about Rod Carley, visit his website, rodcarley.ca. Until next time, remember, here at The Medley, we're all kinds of different.